Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday, Friday, July the 3rd, 2026. Our last regularly scheduled broadcast from the Marion County Fair, brought to you by Poet. Now, we will be back at the station tonight, 8:15 till 10 p.m., doing a show live in the studio. And Matt's got a show tonight, 10:15 through 11. That's going to be a humdinger of a show tonight, I think. So we're all excited for that. But our last hour out here in the Heat Dome, which has been here all week, but we do have one more hour from the Marion County Fair that will happen tomorrow from 1:15 until 2 p.m., and that is going to be celebratory to be sure. Now, Matt, tell people about your show tonight at 10 o'clock, and then what's going on here tomorrow, 1:15 to 2, to celebrate the 250th anniversary of our country, and it'll be happening just feet from where we are right now in front of the Picnic Pavilion.
All right, so my show tonight, we're going to have on Phil Townsend. It's going to be a good show. We're going to talk local politics, state politics, and national politics. There's a lot of stuff I want to get in, so hopefully we got time for all of it. 45 minutes isn't all that lengthy a time frame. So I mean, that'll be a good show. But as far as tomorrow goes, here at the fair in front of the Picnic Pavilion, I do believe, right? Yep, in front of the Picnic Pavilion, we are going to be setting off with 40 red, white, and blue balloons. We're gonna be letting off a big laminated $100 bill with Mary Ellen's signature on it. Well, she's gonna sign it at the event, and then we're gonna let it up. She's gonna cut the. Well, actually, she's not gonna cut it. She's gonna let it go.
When we count back from 10.
Yes, and then. It'll be wonderful. It'll be patriotism galore. We're gonna play Stars and Stripes Forever.
The balloons ascend.
Yeah, that's right. As the balloons ascend, Patience Delaney is gonna be there singing four patriotic songs as well. She's
capping off with America the Beautiful.
Well, that's good. I mean, I think it's gonna be a great event tomorrow. I feel like I'm missing something, but if you find the balloons, that's obviously the one of the important pieces. If you find the balloons with the dollar bill attached, you can call the station, and you get a free dinner or lunch, I guess, whichever works best for you, with Mary Ellen on the radio station.
Yes, it really is historic tomorrow. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. Here we are on the eve of the 250th anniversary of this country. It's a unique time. I don't know. I mean, I think everything's fine. You know, oh, by the way, the Citizens for Democracy protest, which was scheduled for tomorrow at the courthouse, 12 to 2, has been canceled due to heat. So that will not be happening. So there you go. Oh, and, well, here's some patriotic music in the background. People are cranking up the patriotic music. Because it's about time for the 4th of July. Now, do you think the majority of this country is happy with what's going on?
No, I don't think they are. I mean, I think Donald Trump's approval rating is something like 33%. I think it's been 33% for quite some time now. I think that the people who support him are pretty good and well supporting him at this point, and I don't really know that they can get much lower than 33.
Well, you know, people elected him. That's the way it goes. See, I think it's okay. Well, unfortunately, but, you know, you can have that argument before the election. But see, once the election happens, you can't complain. Because, see, we had those discussions leading up to it. So once it's over, I think, well, you got what you voted for.
Look, I did not vote for Donald J. Trump.
Who did you vote for on the anniversary, on the eve of the 250th? Show us your Declaration of Independence here. Be honest. Don't be flim-flam. George Washington wouldn't have been flim-flam. Thomas Jefferson wouldn't have flim-flammed. Ben Franklin wouldn't have flim-flammed. John Adams certainly wouldn't have flim-flammed. They'd have told you what they did.
Well, I voted for the blue one.
Oh, see, there it finally came out. It finally has come out. Just like I assumed all this time. You voted for Harris because.
I didn't have a lot of. I was trying to be optimistic as far as Donald Trump not being a dictator, but you know the odds weren't really looking great. But if Congress did their job, I guess everything would be fine. But you know, I suppose that didn't happen. Supreme Court hasn't done their job. It's not looking great right now. And the biggest flack I heard on Harris from people a lot of the people I knew would be the whole the whole gun control issue. And I'm just trying to rationalize that to myself, because I did figure that Harris would win, because I didn't even know he got Donald, honestly. I threw Harris would win, but I did think that Congress would end up being Republican. So I figured, and obviously the Supreme Court, Donald Trump has appointed, you know, the, like four, I think, of the Supreme Court justices. So I figured the Second Amendment was pretty good and well safe under that government.
Well, it's good this finally came out. I think it took long enough, you know, but we finally got there nearly 2 years later. Now, here's a real declaration to make on the eve of the 250th anniversary of the country. Who are you going to vote for governor? Make your declaration with 4 months left to go.
I might not vote for anybody. I haven't decided. Well, I didn't know who I was going to vote for president until I walked into the booth.
Well, do you want another one of those situations to happen?
Well, it's probably going to end up being that way. So, if I walk in and be like, "Man, is Amy acting worth it?" And then, you know, if I decide, then I guess I'll pull the trigger then.
Well, it's going to be interesting. So, how do you feel about the Republicans putting this Amy Acton cutout in front of their booth?
I mean, I think it's fine if they want to do it, but I don't think it's. Makes a whole lot of sense as far as I think it's fine if they want to do it, but I think it's not great on them. I mean, if you're just walking by, you see the Republican tent with a cutout of Amy Acton. If you're not stopping to read the Amy Acton cutout, again, it's just you know, a pretty close to life size cutout of Amy Acton. So, I mean, I don't think that does them a whole lot of good.
You know, what's interesting. I think about the Founding Fathers. And I think that John Adams really gets tossed out. I mean, now, this is the first vice president of the United States. This is also the first man to have a son become president of the United States. This is also the first president of the United States and the first vice president of the United States not to own slaves. And do you know who the second president never to own a slave was?
No.
His son. John Quincy Adams. So, you know, you've got to say that the Adams family really does get overrun, because George Washington was the first, and he set the mold, and he's the general for the Revolutionary War, and Thomas Jefferson, you know, is given all the credit, more or less, for writing the Declaration of Independence. So, they get a lot of the credit, but, you know, John Adams was the one who said, George Washington's the guy, and John Adams was also the one who said, Thomas Jefferson is the guy to do this. So I really think had there not been John Adams, there would not have been the United States of America, and I think he deserves a lot more credit than he gets.
Well, I mean, I think that's good, I suppose. I mean, I think that, John, he was a lawyer, yes, right? Yeah, so, I mean, that lawyers are generally smart people, I guess. I don't know, I suppose it would have been Thomas Jefferson who wrote it in originally, but I mean, it was written in originally that like there would be no slavery. I don't remember how it would have been phrased, but then, you know, they had to go back on that to get the southern portion of the 13 colonies to go along with it.
I just think it's interesting that John Adams in 1776 understood that owning slaves was not a good idea. George Washington did not feel that way. Thomas Jefferson certainly did not feel that way. He was having affairs with his slaves. So John Adams is really the only truly enlightened man of that era.
I suppose. I mean, I don't think it's all really that hard of a concept to understand. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand slavery. I mean, I don't know how you could see it as more. I think it was probably, I don't know, something like... I don't even know how you would rationalize it.
Well, I think it's also fascinating. For people who don't believe in a hereafter or a power higher than themselves, I think all you have to do is look at the founding of this country. There are two moments in history that are not talked about a whole lot that really shaped this country. People think that you know, we just fought hard and we were smart and all that sort of things. There was a portion in that war in New York where George Washington was about to be defeated, killed, and put away. And if the fog that night had went in the opposite direction, the British Army would have ended him. It had been done. The Revolutionary War would have been over. But because the fog went in the opposite direction and covered him, he was able to retreat in the middle of the night and save the majority of his troops. Now that is divine intervention.
I don't think that's the case, but I think that's...
You think that's just the weather? This country, the United States, was really founded because of the weather. Thank God for fog. No, I'm not saying God gave fog. All I'm saying is if you don't believe in a higher power, if you just call that, oh, that's a coincidence.
Nature's certainly a higher power, but I don't think it's, like, omniscient or anything. I mean, tornadoes wipe out people all the time. We're scared of hurricanes. We're scared of, like there was just an earthquake in Venezuela that you know, had caused a whole bunch of damage. I mean, nature's pretty brutal.
No, but I'm saying it's not like nature chose a side. What I'm saying is that if that fog had went in the opposite direction, we would all be drinking tea right now. There would have never been a United States of America, which became the most powerful country in the world and has done more good things and had more freedoms per capita than any other country. It all came down to one night in New York in the water. If the fog had just went the opposite direction, completely changes history.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at one point in time, there was a guy who made this thing they called the Turtle, and it was basically the first, like, submarine, the first time it was used was in 1776. It was invented by an American, it was like, you would manually, like, with, like, cranks and levers, like, go across, like, the floor of the water there. And then you would, like, drill a hole into the side of a boat, and drilling the hole would, like, implant some kind of explosive, and then you get away, and the explosive has some kind of timing mechanism. And we tried to use it to blow up the, like, flagship of the UK, but it didn't work for... Well, there was, like, a volunteer pilot driver riding the thing, so, like, you know, a captain, I suppose, but... Yeah, so if we had the guy who it was supposed to be, who couldn't do it because he was sick, apparently, we could have had that flagship taken out with submarines. We were the first country in the world to use submarines, or I guess now they'd probably be classified as something more like, I don't know, submersibles.
But I okay. And then the second moment of divine intervention happens 50 years to the day later. 50 years, July 4th. 50 years after 1776, there are two of the founding fathers still alive, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, and not only do they both die on the same day, they die on July 4th. And not only do they die on July 4th, they die on the 50th anniversary of July the 4th. Now, again, just big coincidence.
Yeah, I mean, I think they wanted to stay alive to see the 4th, and they got to do that, and then they kind of good and well just gave up. There's not much, I mean, you know.
See, that's just too big a coincidence for me. They just both happened to hang in there till the 50th anniversary, even though they weren't even near each other. A matter of fact, Thomas Jefferson, or John Adams' last words were, "Thank God Jefferson survives," not knowing that Jefferson had died earlier in the day. So they didn't will that whole thing. Adams had been sick for a while. He didn't even know the man had died.
Like if you were on your deathbed, like you know, and you were ailing or something, and you were like, I want to do this thing, and it's like, you know, obviously you can't be like, I want to do this thing 7 years, because, you know, that's not quite how it works. But I'm sure you'd be like... It's like the whole, you know, like, I don't know how to phrase it, but they were, I mean, obviously you don't just die instantly unless you have, like, a heart attack or something like that. You know, most people die, in like a usual way, if that makes sense.
You know, this is like 1826. They did not know each other were ailing. They did not know that it... I doubt they knew it was July the 4th. It's not like the news came on that morning and said, oh, it's July the 4th. John Adams was 90 years old. Back in those days, that was ancient.
I'm sure they knew it was July the 4th.
I don't think so. Jefferson died early in the day. I'm not even sure he was conscious.
I'm sure they knew it was July the 4th.
What do you think? He woke up at 6 a.m., said, it's July the 4th, time to check out, bonk.
Even the Mayans invented a calendar like long before we as Europeans all the way back to Europe even got here. So I'm sure they knew it was July the 4th. Calendars have been around for a thousand.
No, I'm saying they both were old and ill. 90 years old in 1926 is rather elderly. I mean, you should have been dead about 40 years earlier. And Jefferson was in his 70s, so he was not a young man either. That certainly wasn't the life expectancy in those days. So the fact, and these two people were not living in the same city. They had no idea, didn't have telephones. They weren't telephoning each other. Oh, is he still alive? They hadn't talked to each other in a long time.
I don't think that them having any connection has to do with it. I mean, they were both founding fathers.
But I'm saying in those days, it took days to relay the message that somebody had died.
Across the country, yeah.
Well, they weren't living in the same area.
Well, wouldn't make a difference. I mean, they died on the same day. I don't think it would really matter all that much.
But what I'm saying is Jefferson did not know that Adams was dying that day, and Adams certainly did not know that Jefferson was dying that day. Those were his final words. So you got to say, just another big coincidence. 50th anniversary. They couldn't have died on the 47th. It would have to be the 50th. And the same day for both of them.
I would say that's a coincidence.
You know, if everything's a coincidence, then nothing is a coincidence. Because coincidence in and of itself means, happenstance. Everything can't be happenstance. That's an oxymoron.
Everything's random.
Is it? I don't know that it is. I would say that everything's not exactly random.
And there are loads of things in history that change in circumstance would have, changed the outcome of the world drastically.
Well, I don't even think that's a change in circumstance. And by the way, it's kind of interesting that tomorrow is the 200th anniversary of the death of John Adams and Thomas Jefferson.
What?
Tomorrow is the 200th anniversary of the death of John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. Because they both died the same day.
Yep.
July 4th.
Because they wanted to live to see the birthday of the country.
They didn't know. Hey, you think they were? What do you think they were doing back then? Passing around twirlers and sparklers and those sort of things.
No, but I'm certain they remembered July the 4th.
I don't think they knew it. They were very ill and old.
If I don't remember, which one is it?
What?
Jefferson and Adams?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So Adams was dying, and his last words were, thank God Jefferson lives? Okay, all right.
But he was dead.
Yeah, I got that. I don't know, there was a point, but I forget the point now.
I'm going to let you tell people what's coming up in about 29 minutes back at the station in the air condition, which I'll be happy for. And then tonight at 10 o'clock, and then tomorrow at 1:15.
What's happening? I don't know what's happening. I mean, we're doing the Friday Night Live show for 2 hours. Is that...
Patriotic.
Oh, tomorrow?
Tonight. And then what's going on tomorrow?
Apparently we're doing something patriotic tonight. So I don't know. I don't know what's up with that. I'm sure I will remember when I get there and I see it, I suppose. But, so there's that, but there's the Friday Night Live show. Tomorrow we're doing the 40 balloons that are going to lift off for the 4th of July event.
That's going to be at 1 o'clock in front of the Picnic Pavilion at the fair. Now, we're going to have a big $100 bill that's been laminated. Mary Ellen's going to sign it at the event, and it's going to be clipped on to the 40 balloons. And then we're going to have Patience Delaney there. She's going to sing four, I do believe, patriotic songs. And we're going to have the Stars and Stripes Forever. And with Mary Ellen, Let's Go of the Balloons, we're gonna hear Stars and Stripes Forever as the balloons ascend. Now, if you find the balloons, you can call the station. I do believe there's going to be a phone number on there with the information. Yeah, you can call the station, and you can get either a free lunch or dinner, I suppose, whichever works best for you time-wise, at where I do believe the place of your choosing, with Mary Ellen. You know, who wouldn't want a dinner with the fifth treasurer of the United States? She's an interesting lady. You know, she's good to talk to. Especially if you like politics, she's got all kinds of stories that she can tell. But there's that. Now, I'm interested to find out what we're doing at the station tonight. I'm sure I was told at some point, but I can't recall, so that's good. but yeah. 8 to 10 is going to be the Friday Night Live show, as per usual, and 10 to 11 is going to be that time of the week with myself. And joining us this week will be Phil Townsend. We're going to talk local, state, and national politics, and I think it's going to be good. Now, there is a lot of people, well, not a whole lot, but there is a good number of people here at the fair, and one second. I don't know, there's somebody, it looks like Sean Barr's over at the Republican tent again, but other than that, I can't really tell who's over there, so that'll be good. So what's happening tomorrow, or today at 8, after we leave here?
The live show.
Yeah. Friday Night Live.
Right.
But then you just said patriotic, so I was like, I don't know.
No, tomorrow patriotic.
Yes, tomorrow patriotic. Yes, yeah, so, okay, I was just confused. Yes, it's going to be, so, yes, I was correct. 8 to 10, Friday Night Live, 10 to 11, that time of the week. And, yeah. So, what you looking for?
Up.
Are you thirsty?
I'm thirsty. You know, it's only been about 100 degrees out here all week. God almighty. Never again do I want to broadcast from a fair where it's 100 degrees every day. It hasn't stopped. It's pounded all week.
I don't mind it. I think it's all right.
I do. I've been here for all these broadcasts.
I've been here for all but one.
It's hot, lugging this equipment around.
I mean, there's not a whole lot of equipment to lug around.
How about you handle it next year?
Okay.
You can do all the setups and takedowns. Now, we want to thank Poet for sponsoring these broadcasts from the Marion County Fair. Again, we got three. You know, it's good, though, to be back there. Today, when we went back there for the final 2 hours and it was just air conditioned, just sitting in there is so relaxing and nice.
Yes, compared to being here, it is very, very nice in the studio right now.
Comfortable furniture. It's just a nice place to be.
I agree. We have, there's a bathroom there. You don't gotta go to the porta potties where it's like 120 degrees.
And hot water. You wash your hands with scalding hot water.
I mean, I guess you're supposed to wash your hands with hot water, so I think that's okay.
Not scalding hot water.
I mean, it's only scalding if it hurts you.
I'm telling you, I wonder what impact the weather has had on the fair this year.
I do think fair attendance has probably been down. Now, right now, I think most people are probably down watching the Demolition Derby. So there's that. But it has been easy to find parking this year. I don't think I've seen or had any problems besides, I don't even know which day it was, but I parked down by the... By the way, I'm apparently just dumb. It's not the steer barn. All the way down there, that's chickens and rabbits. So I parked over by the chicken and rabbit barn.
Chicken and rabbit barn.
Yep.
So, what's been your favorite part of the fair?
Well, I mean, I think that watching the Sale Champions was interesting. I like that they do it out in front of the Dairy Barn now. I don't know why I like it, but it's pretty cool. I like to watch the animals. Animals are nice. Like in the mornings, you see a lot of the kids doing stuff with their goats. I think that's always interesting to watch them do. You see, like the one morning I saw a girl like manhandling this goat, trying to get it into some kind of position, and I was like, that's interesting.
You know, I'm excited for tomorrow. You know, I don't think it's quite hit that it's the 250th anniversary of the country, because a lot of people were not alive during the bicentennial. That was 50 years ago. Tomorrow is the first time there's been an anniversary in this country like this since 1976.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't around for the bicentennial.
But you know what? It's not as big. I don't know if social media has knocked it down. Did you hear today that President Trump says that he doesn't care if it's 107 degrees? He's going to give a long speech tomorrow night.
Hopefully he doesn't, you know, pass out or something along those lines. He's an old fellow, and he should probably not be standing out. And you know, he should probably not be standing out in the heat for all that time.
I'm sure they have those air-conditioned vests for him and all kinds of stuff.
I can get behind an air-conditioned vest. Sounds good.
Well, I'm sure, and he also made apparently a joke today about being the fattest president, that he was going to knock Taft out and be the fattest president of all time.
I can believe it.
I think he's a little bit away from that, though.
Well, yeah, he's got to start packing on the pounds.
Because I think Taft weighed over 300, like 320, 330, something like that.
I think Trump could probably catch up if he just devoted the rest of his time to eating instead of, you know, bombing countries.
I thought that was kind of an odd comment to make, that he wanted to be the fattest president.
I thought he was just making a joke about how people call him fat.
Well, I can never tell what's a joke and what's a not. He's not exactly a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, I know, his jokes aren't quite funny, but I mean, I assume if there's, like, no point or something like that, usually it's just some kind of stupid joke that he said, because his jokes are never funny. He got, I don't know, it's like he stopped putting effort in. I think in 2016 his comments were a little funnier, but I think that that 2020, 2024, it was, you know, kind of a bit, you know, beaten down.
He's tired.
I can imagine. You know, he had to run from prison time.
Well, apparently, you know, that might be back on the table in a couple years.
Well, that's what we're hoping for. I would like to see Donald Trump in prison.
Well, that's not very nice about a former president.
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, presidents are just people, and presidents are under the law, too. I think it'd be quite good to see Donald Trump locked up.
Well, you know, I was there the night. Talk about history. I was in the queue in Cleveland, Ohio, Republican Convention 2016. I'm sorry, it was in July of 2016, in which, 10 years ago, how about that? 10 years ago, in which the Lock Her Up chant was invented by, I think it was Flynn, General Flynn, who was campaigning for Trump. I remember they started yelling about Hillary, lock her up, lock her up. I remember thinking, that's weird.
And then like three of Trump's administration turn around in this second term, and do the same exact thing. And they're literally using like, I can't think of what the app is, but some kind of app that has deleting messages, and I don't know. They're shady group of people.
Well, they wanted Hillary locked up. That never happened. Apparently, she wasn't doing anything illegal.
I can believe that, yeah. I mean, they've investigated Hillary Clinton time and time and time again, so and it's gotten them absolutely nowhere. I think she is probably The investigations on Hillary Clinton have probably ended up being the biggest waste of taxpayer dollars.
You know, I still think Hillary Clinton at this point, I mean, maybe something will change in the future, but I think she'll go down as the greatest first lady in the history of this country, not because of what she did as first lady, although I think she probably had as big or a bigger impact on her husband's presidency than anybody, but the fact of what she did after. Well, she's nowhere near Hillary Clinton.
I mean, I wasn't around in the Clinton era. I don't know what she did as first lady, but...
No, I'm talking about...
Like Obama?
Yeah, because, I mean, the woman ran for Senate after that and won. Then she became Secretary of State.
Yeah, overall, I don't think, I mean, Hillary Clinton was what was qualified.
No, I'm just saying no other First Lady has done that.
Yeah, and I'm agreeing. And then I added a second statement that Hillary Clinton was qualified to be president.
It's interesting, because if you look at all the other First Ladies, you would say, who are they? They're First Lady of the United States. I don't think you go to First Lady with Hillary Clinton. I think Secretary of State is probably her high title. First female ever to have the nomination by a major party for president.
Yeah. So, I mean,
and got more votes than Trump.
Imagine. Smart people.
Just in the wrong places.
I mean, he went to a college. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I think previously I have been in favor of the Electoral College, but I, generally speaking, I think that popular vote probably just works best. So,
you know, you just look at these people at the fair, they are just run down. Like, people's collars are all filled with sweat. People are just laying on the table half dead. Nobody's really talking much to each other. There's not even a lot of noise here tonight.
Well, it's been a pretty warm day, so, you know, it's about how it's been every day at the fair this year.
Like, look at that girl who just came out of the sheep barn. She's got a ring around the neck.
She does have a ring around the neck. That's funny. Poor girl sweating.
Yeah, and they've got squirt guns out here because everybody's dying.
I could deal with a squirt gun right about now.
Hey, why don't you run down what happened earlier at the big show. That was quite a show. I hope people enjoyed that, the big pie auction. I love the pie. I think the pie auction's better than the Sale of Champions. I'm glad we televise or audio-vise this more than anything else. Now, by the way, the total money raised, $15,210 in pies, 66 pies. The average price per pie was $230.46. The fair collected $3,802.50 off this pie auction. The most expensive pie went for $625. Lincoln Kramer? I think his name was Lincoln Kramer. Lincoln Kramer. Most expensive pie, $625. He made a apple crumb pie. Now, he was raising money for the Ridgedale jerseys, and the total money raised from three different pies for the Ridgedale jerseys was $1,725.
But I think we were in the pie auction. I gave him a ceiling of like $1,500, and then they beat that. So I'm glad that they were. I'm not sure. I was thinking they were buying. Didn't they say they were just buying new jerseys?
I think that'll cover it.
Yeah, if they're buying new jerseys, I mean, like $1,700 is probably pretty substantial portion of that.
And $120 for the most expensive pie.
Yes, there were a lot of yes, I think that was the only pie that bought was $625 pie. There also
like $100 a slice.
Yes, it's like $100 a slice. But all of the
You know, I think it's gonna rain here. It just got very dark all of a sudden.
It was getting dark earlier, but I hope it rains. You know, hopefully it cools down soon, and hopefully it just doesn't all become humidity. But all of the Ridgedale kids got both. Two of them were over $600, and maybe one was $600. Nonetheless, there were two in the $600, and then one was I think $550 or something like that. So good time, good. You know, they all did well.
What are the chances on the last night of the fair that a storm would roll in here?
This isn't the last night of the fair.
Well, I'm saying the last substantial night of the fair. This is going to not do well for the Demolition Derby.
This does pretty okay for the Demolition Derby.
I don't think they'll run it in the rain.
I don't know if they'll run it in the rain, but I know that they have to wet the field because they used to not wet the field. But then you'd have, like, if it was a really hot like this and you didn't wet it down, you'd have cars end up going, like, you know. At least though, I've been told from, like, my grandpa, you know, he could be over-exaggerating, you know how people tell stories. But apparently you'd have cars getting up to, like, 35 miles an hour hitting each other because they were just driving on, like, solid dirt.
It is getting very dark very quick.
That's good. I hope there's some kind of torrential downpour.
Well, I think all of the moisture has been caught in the heat dome, and this may be the lifting of the heat dome is what we're seeing.
The lifting of the heat dome.
Heat dome has been in place since Monday morning.
It's like they put us in a petri dish.
And the heat dome is about to lift.
I don't know. I think it's probably about to pour down rain, though. I mean, the sky doesn't look too bad from in here, but it's certainly gotten dark, so... There's definitely some storm clouds somewhere.
It's coming from the west.
None of the big ones. Oh, well, they're starting to come from, like, directly behind you now, I guess. So, I'm excited.
It's going to get ugly here. For the first time this week, I can actually see the lights. It's been so hot and sunny and humid. You can't really make out the lights on a lot of these booths, but you can start to see them now as it's getting very dark here. And I can even see the lights... on the rides down there, clear as a bell, and the lights are on in the activities building.
The lights are on in here.
Right, but I haven't been able to notice that all week, but now I do.
Well, I'm sure they have some, I wouldn't think they just constantly have the lights. They probably have some kind of light detector or something like that.
I feel a breeze for the first time in 5 days.
Oh, no, there's been a breeze all week. Yesterday, not so much, but today and every other day. It was great.
So you going to stop and get yourself a beverage again tonight?
First call for
probably.
Because you get that 15 minutes, you got to jog back to the studio.
It depends. Last time I didn't hit a whole lot of traffic. If I hit a lot of traffic this time, then probably not, because then I won't be able to get to the gas station and the studio before the show starts.
Well, be courteous if you do.
Okay.
Because a cold drink would be nice to start off this two-hour radiothon we've got going in a nice air-conditioned studio.
You got drinks last time?
Well, I stopped. I want to get there on time this time.
Well, we'll see.
Don't hurt yourself. These broadcasts have been brought to you by... here at the Marion County Fair, as it gets considerably dark here. In the last 3 minutes, it has gotten dark. If it continues on this pace, we're not going to make it out of here without getting rained on.
Well, that's, you know, I don't mind that. I don't mind the rain. It could clean my car off. My car is quite dirty, actually.
You know, like the song says, I love a rainy night.
Sit on the porch and read when it's raining very hard. It's nice ambiance.
You know who said that? The late Eddie Rabbit.
The song.
But he said it.
He said it?
Both. I'm sure both.
Fair enough. It's a good song.
You know, I'd hate to be in an RV right now.
I don't know. RVs have AC. I hate to be in an RV that doesn't have AC right now.
You'd had to run it all week. It'd cost you an arm and a leg.
I would have been running it all week. I wouldn't have been sleeping in that trailer otherwise.
No, but I'm saying that would, you know, that's gasoline.
Or RV, I guess, same concept. But
why do you think there's such a curiosity as to who the judges are for the pie auction?
I don't know. People probably want to know why they won or lost or something like that. Or sometimes maybe they feel like there's some favoritism going on.
Yeah, but I mean, there is. I can understand why they swear you to secrecy, because when people are asking, that's why you have to be sworn to secrecy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think people are probably asking because they don't like that they lost and they want to know why, or like I said, they will just say that it's rigged.
Somebody should just call the fair and ask them who the judges are. And if they want to tell, it's their show. They can tell.
Well, I mean, I think if the judge wanted to tell who they were, then they probably could. I wouldn't know why they couldn't. But so the judge hasn't done it. Why would we do it?
Well, no, but we were asked.
Yeah, but why? I mean, why would the fair do it? Same concept.
Right, but that goes back to the original question. Why do you think it's such a secret?
Well, because people get hostile. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. I'm sure if you go on, like I don't know, Facebook or whatever, and you go into the comments section, somebody's going to be claiming that it's rigged or something like that.
They always do. You can tell. And I tell you, I don't know what it is. The pies that win the competition always are the lowest selling pies. And I think that's part of the reason. I think there's a jealousy and anger.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know why the pies go like they do. I mean, I guess it just depends really on what the pie is. I mean, you know. There were a lot of politicians at the pie auction this time around.
Like the winning pie today went for $150, and the prettiest pie went for $150. They didn't even hit the average price for a pie.
Well, I guess that their pies weren't all that popular after all. I don't know what to tell you. I mean there might be some jealousy there, but I mean if you think anybody ever scammed the system and just put somebody, like, say I owned a business, okay, and then I had my, like, I don't know, sister bake a pie, and then she entered the pie into the pie auction, and then I just bought the pie off of her for, like, $1,000, and I just gave her, like, you know, $100 for winning the, for making the pie and presenting it, and then I just spent $1,000 to get $900 back for, like, I don't know, name recognition.
I have no idea what you just said. What? What would happen?
So, like, say somebody owned a business and they had their, like sister or something make a, like, a pie for them, okay?
Gotcha.
And then they entered, their sister entered this pie.
Uh-huh.
Into the pie.
Well, I won you so far.
And then I, or, you know, whoever's sister it was,
right,
bought the pie,
uh-huh,
but then bought it for, like, $1,000.
Right.
Does and then like, well, obviously, I guess the fair's going to take their
$250. You got to pay the fair.
Yep, got to pay the fair. And then I get my sister $100. And then, you know, I get you know, what, so $650 back?
But, I mean, what's the point? You paid $350 for a pie for what?
Like, I don't know why do businesses and politicians buy pies here for advertising, name recognition perks, you know, so your name is that kind of thing, I would assume.
Right, but the more money you spend, I guess is what you're saying would give you recognition, the more you're going to have to give to the fair, which I'm sure they don't have a problem with.
No. It has. It's just like, I don't know, like that way I guess I can guarantee I get a pie for, because like even if I, like, the average cost was $230. Like, even if I split the cost, like, with my sibling or whoever, like, I mean, you know, the fair takes their 25%, and then I go 50-50. I only paid half for the pie. But I got the, you know, I don't know, whatever you want to say the calling out of your name is.
Uh-huh. But you would do that if you paid a low amount for a pie. So what's the difference? It's a pie auction, and how do you know somebody's not going to bid against you?
Well, I would assume somebody's going to bid against me. It's a pie auction.
Right. So how do you... You can't preset that.
Well, no, but, like, if they bid $300, okay, they're going to be out $300 when they pay for this pie.
Right.
If I bid $300, I'm really only bidding $150 because I split the money with whoever else.
But you got to pay the fare.
Yeah.
So, $75 you paid less? I don't get it. Why not just do it the right... I don't think the fair really cares. I think as long as they get their cut, I don't think... If you want to shortchange the person who made the pie, go ahead.
I mean, I'm not going to... I mean, it's too much effort to go through and do all of that. But, I mean, I think that it's, you know, maybe feasible.
Kent is, I believe, out there listening. He said, did you get a good pie for broadcasting the auction? We didn't get any pie for broadcasting the auction.
That's right. We did it out of the kindness of our hearts.
Are we down to the final minute of broadcasting here from the fair? Well, guess what? We'll be back in the studio here in about 15 minutes. It's a run back there before the storm. our last, 30 seconds broadcasting from the Marion County Fair regular. We'll be back here tomorrow at 1:15. We'll talk more about that in the studio tonight. 10 and then on the 150th anniversary of this country, and I'm sure we will be talking about that tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the 250th anniversary of the country is certainly something that should be talked about, especially in the with what's going on as of currently.
Well, we want to thank Poet for all these broadcasts this week. We'll be on in the studio in just about 15 minutes from now. Everybody stay tuned from the Marion County Fair. Matt Morgan, Scott Spears, heading for the dugout.
The place for guests like...